Good morning. Please join us for the call to worship. In the beginning was the Word, spoken, creating the world. Jesus, you are the Word of God. The Word gives life. That life is light. Jesus, the darkness cannot put out your light. At the beginning of our time, speak, shake our worlds. Jesus, we're hungry for your words of life. We cannot live by food alone. We wait on the words that come from the mouth of God. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. It's time for us to put flesh on your Word, that we might be your hands and feet in our homes, jobs, and streets. We will worship the Lord and serve Him only. We will let our light shine in the darkness, that the world might see and be transformed, and praise our Father in heaven. Amen.
Good morning. It's great to be with you today in worship. We're glad that you're here, glad that you ventured out into the thunder that was happening earlier. We're glad that you're here to worship with us. If you're worshiping with us online, we're delighted that you've joined us there. Please catch the little pop-up box so we know that you're worshiping with us. And if you're worshiping with us here in the sanctuary, if you take our attendance pad, fill it out, tear it out, and then pass it down the row and drop it in the offering plate as it comes by so that we know that you're here in attendance today. So I have a few announcements I'd like to lift up. We've got Parents Night that is coming up, and that's May the 5th from 6 to 9, and that is for kids. You'll find more information about it in the bulletin, but we've added like little guys. So 0 to 3, we'll have a place for them as well. So parents, if you've got some kids, or grandparents, if you've got some kids and you're responsible for them, bring them up here for Parents Night. You can drop them off, go have dinner, come back, and they'll be tired and ready to go to bed. So we've got some parent meetings. Laura Sternett, our new director of family ministries, is having some parent meetings. You'll find more details in the bulletin there. But the children, parents of children, are going to meet May 4th and May 7th. You'll find the times in your bulletin. And parents of youth will meet also on May 7th. And again, you'll find the times there in your bulletin. VBS is happening again this summer. Yay! That's the most exciting week around here. So it's June 26th through the 30th. So registration is open. We've got 170 kids already registered. So, and you also can register to be a volunteer. Vacation Bible School does not happen without your help. And so there's going to be some folks at the desk out in the commons. So if you've got some questions about how you can serve, but we for sure need your help. I mean, we're going to have just a whole house full of kids, and it's going to be awesome. And we're going to be teaching them about Jesus. And so we're going to need your help to do that. So if you can help, let us know. Our youth are going to UM Army, and they're going July 16th through the 22nd. The cost for each youth is $200. The church is underwriting some portion of that. So if you've got a youth, be sure and get them signed up for this. It's an opportunity to go on a mission trip. We're going to Caldwell, Texas. And so it's a great part of the world. And they're going to be doing some work on some folks' houses. So, and we are having immediately after this service, if you've been a regular guest, and you would like to come and hear some more information about how to join the church and what it means to be a member of the church, we'd like to buy you lunch. So in the parlor, immediately after this service, if you are a guest, we'd love for you to come and join us for that. And then just one issue about security that we need to sort of pay attention to. We have about 400 children a week that are here. And we're trying to keep them as safe as possible. And we've had some instances where folks have come up here and propped open our outside doors. Maybe they're bringing some stuff in or something. If you're bringing something in, just do it quickly and then make sure you close the door. We've had some instances where doors have stayed propped open even overnight. And so please just don't prop any exterior doors open for any length of time or any doors that go into any of the children's space. We want to need to keep those secure, and so we would appreciate your help with that. So what a great day it is to be with you in worship. We are so glad that you are here. If you would, please stand and greet your neighbor. You can even go across the aisle and you can say, "Peace of Christ be with you." And no more door propping.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this day and grateful for the ability we have to gather together and worship you freely. We ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to be among us today, that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts so that we would receive your word, that it would live within us and that we would share it with others. God, we confess that we are not always living within your will. We confess that we don't always make the best choices, and we ask for your forgiveness. And we are assured through the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we have received that forgiveness, and we are so grateful. And we thank you every day for the ability to continue with your grace and your love and mercy. And we ask that you would equip us to share that with others, this amazing news that we can live free from sin. We ask that you would be with those in our congregation who need healing. We lift up those who are sick or injured, those who are in the hospital, those who are recovering from illnesses or in treatment. We ask that you would send your healing spirit to be upon them and that you would also grant them peace and comfort, as well as peace and comfort to their families who care for them. We ask that you would be with those in our community who are struggling financially, those who are having a hard time putting food on the table or finding a job. God, we ask that you would be at work in those situations and open our eyes to see how we can help those who need it. We pray that you would be with our leaders of our city, our state, our nation, and our world, that you would give them wisdom and they would act according to your will to bring about justice for all. And we ask that you would send us the people who need you, those who are searching for you, and that you would put within us a desire to invite others to come and see the way that you are working in this place and in this church family. Lord, help us to be your light in this dark world. We know that there is so much brokenness that we can see, and it seems overwhelming, but nothing can overwhelm your light. So let that light pierce into the darkness through us, that we might be symbols for others of your love and your grace. And now we gather, and with the confidence of the children of God, we pray the words that our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen, choir. That was awesome. Thank you. Please stand as we affirm our faith together with a Nicene Creed that was revised in the year 381. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who was spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of our sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Will those assisting with offering please come forward? So I wanted to share with you as we come to our time of offering today about some mission work that happened this past week because of your generosity, both in resources but also in materials that you brought. We'd been asking you to bring hygiene products for Humble Area Assistance Ministries, toilet paper, shampoo, soap, things like that. And with those materials, the youth last week, along with our HAM mission team, put together 235 hygiene kits. Those have already gone to HAM and are already being distributed out to the community. And so we just wanted to thank you for your time, for your treasure, and for bringing of those goods that we were able to put directly into the hands of people who need them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for all the gifts that you have given us in our life, but mostly we are grateful for the salvation that we receive through Jesus Christ. We come now to this opportunity to respond to that gift with our time and our talent and our treasure. And we know that you will take those gifts and that they will be blessed and equipped and sent out into the community and into the world to show of your love for those who need to know it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we're now turning our attention to the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, Jesus the Christ. And I like to put the in there because sometimes we say like Jesus Christ like it's his last name. It's not his last name. It's a title. Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the one who has come to save his people. You know, we read and have been reading the Nicene Creed, and the language that talks about the Son, seems to be kind of really specific, doesn't it? Seems like they're trying to kind of hit some sort of formula or some exact phrasing. And it is that way because it is so. They were exactly trying to hit the phrasing that had come up at the Council of Nicaea. The Nicene Creed is the only authoritative ecumenical statement of the Christian faith that is accepted by the Catholic Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Oriental Orthodox Church, the Church of the East, and virtually all of Protestantism, including our Anglican brothers and sisters. This statement ultimately that we read was done in 381, and churches around the world claim this as an affirmation of faith. This is what we believe. The only difference between them is in the Eastern Orthodox Church, when they're talking about the Holy Spirit, they only say that it proceeds from the Father. And in the Western Church, we say the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. That's the only disagreement. That's what largely separates the Eastern Church from the Western Church. So this creed came about because there was some controversy in the church about Jesus' role in the Godhead. I mean, the whole concept of the Trinity and the full humanity and divinity of Jesus is not laid out for us in Scripture. There's not an 11th commandment that says, "Thou God is a triune God, of three and one substance." It's not there. The full humanity and divinity of Jesus remains a mystery to us, even to this day. But it's not made 100% clear in Scripture. It's alluded to in places. At the baptism of Jesus, you see all three parts of the Godhead. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all present there at Jesus' baptism. But unfortunately, this whole idea about how the Trinity works and the full humanity and divinity of Jesus has had to been worked out by our early church fathers as they tried to figure these mysteries out. You know, sometimes we talk about our faith as being one where we stand on the shoulders of those that have come before us, and that is in this particular case of understanding the Trinity and the natures of Christ, that is for sure a place that we stand. We stand on the shoulders of our early church fathers that had worked these things out. You'll recall in your church history that a turning point for Christianity was when the Emperor Constantine conquered under the sign, the Cairo sign, in like 312, and he then became a Christian. Now, one can debate whether he actually became a Christian then, but ultimately he was baptized on his deathbed. But what did happen was the persecution of Christians was halted. Not only that, but Christianity ultimately became the religion of the empire. And that was a turning point for us as followers of Jesus. As Christianity was freed and able to worship openly and talk openly, some of the early church fathers began to try to understand how Jesus the Son relates to God the Creator and the Holy Trinity. Anybody heard of Arianism? And let me say it is spelled differently. It has nothing to do with German, the German race. It's spelled A-R-I-A-N-I-S-M. And it comes from an early church follower, an early theologian named Arius, who made the argument that the Son, that Jesus, was created by God. That God created him and that he now is living with God forever, eternally. But if Arius were to have a bumper sticker to put on his chariot, it would say, "There was a time when the Son was not." Well, there was another early church father named Athanasius. And Athanasius made the argument that no, the Son is co-eternal with the Father. And just as God has always been, the Son has always been. So they were going back and forth over this, and it was beginning to cause some significant pressures for the early Christians, that they could not really come to an agreement as to sort of the nature of the Son and where he was. And more importantly, it began to put some pressure on the empire itself. And so Constantine, having converted to Christianity, finally said, "Guys, we got to get together on this. So we're going to have this big council, and everybody's going to come, and we're going to sort this out. We are going to figure this out." And so the very first ecumenical church council happened in 325 at Nicaea. And that's where ultimately the Nicene Creed came from, was because it was there in Nicaea that they came up with this in 325. So let's look at the phrasing. "We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made." This word "begotten" is different than "created." It's like God is already there. Son, the Son is already a part of God. They are co-eternal, and the word that we used here is consubstantial. Comes from the Latin word substance, and con means of the same. So they're of the same substance. Remember at our Bible study last week, we talked about the Greek word that meant that, homoousios. It's the same meaning, of one substance. And so the Nicene Creed, as they talk about the Son, are being very specific about our understanding of Jesus, the Son, being co-eternal of the same substance with God the Father. So this was largely settled by the publishing of the Nicene Creed in 325, but it wasn't completely settled. Arianism proved kind of hard to kill. And over a period of time, it sort of depended upon sort of the flavor of the emperor. There were emperors who were in favor of Arianism, and there were emperors who were more seeing the view of Athanasius. And so it kind of ebbed and flowed, and finally they had to have another council. And this was the council at Constantinople in 381. And there they affirmed that the Son was consubstantial and co-eternal with the Father. And Arianism kind of kind of faded away after that. But at that same one in Constantinople, they had to tackle how does the Holy Spirit interact with the Godhead? And so they revised their statement from 325, which sort of ended with, and we believe in the Holy Spirit, to this whole other part that is now present. So what we recite here today are the words that were given to us in 381 at the Council of Constantinople. And so that's what we read today, was the result of that council in 381. So it's been around that long. Now, the language that we use has been modernized just a touch, and they have added before sort of each of the major parts, we believe. But what we're reciting is what was created in 381 at the Council of Constantinople. But lest you think that that was the end of controversy in the church, it was not. They then turned their attention to the natures of Christ. How is it that Jesus can be fully human and fully divine and yet be one person? There were all kinds of theories that sort of came out about how this all works, how the nature of Christ is. There was this thing called Docetism, in which they argued that the real Jesus was sort of a phantasm, that he wasn't a real person, that it was sort of God walking around just looking like a person. And then there was this Apollinarianism that came up, and that idea was that Jesus didn't really have a human mind, but that he had just a single divine mind. And then there was this idea of monophysitism. Yeah, that's a word. Where Jesus' divine nature somehow absorbs his human nature. And so you have this one person that has only a divine nature because his divine nature, I don't know, ate his human nature, absorbed it. The Orthodox belief, what we as followers of Jesus believe, is that Jesus is fully human and fully divine and one person. And the honest Christian, since they don't really understand exactly how it works, but I believe it, that Jesus was fully human and fully divine. Karl Barth, I think, put it so beautifully. I love this quote. It is in the humanity and the divine being combined that creation and redemption are united. That's what happens in Jesus, is we, the created, meet redemption because Jesus is fully human and fully divine. And the result is creation and redemption united. So what does Scripture say about this? Remember, it's not really explained in detail for us. It's alluded to in some places. So we're going to start with the Gospel of John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. This is the word of God for the people of God. So John in this text is really, I think, artfully reminding us of that first passage in Genesis. The first words in Scripture are in the beginning. And so John in this text tells us, in the beginning was the Word. And that word, has some special meaning. So you need to remember that, especially when you're reading the Gospel of John, that when you read the Word, it's not the Word of God like we think of Scriptures, but it's Jesus, the Word of God. You have to sort of contextualize it and see, because we talk about the Word of God and Scripture being revealed, and it is, and it does. But John and the early church fathers also talk about the Word, and they're talking about Jesus. So the word that John used in Greek was logos. I'm sure you've heard Jesus called logos before. That's the word. And interestingly, that word logos would have had special meaning for both the Jewish reader and the Greek reader. To the Jewish reader, the Word of God is associated with the personification of God's revelation. So a Jewish reader would have heard that, and he would be thinking about the Word of God revealed by a prophet, by Elijah. He'd be thinking about the Word of God revealed. And the Greek reader would have understood logos as a bridge between a transcendent God and a material world. That this logos is that bridge. So in this instance, Jesus is the Word. And so as you are reading your early church fathers, as I'm sure you all do regularly, when you see the Word, you have to remind yourself that they're talking about Jesus. So I guess really the question is, what does this have to do with us? What does this have to do with my faith that the early church fathers worked out what the Trinity was and how the Son related to the Father? You know, I think when you look at Scripture at the macro level, at the really big picture, this is what I see. I see a God who loves his creation, a God who wants to be in relation to them, in community with them. And he comes to us and he makes a covenant with us. and we mess it up. And so he comes again, and he says, I really love you guys. I want to be in relationship with you. So let's make another covenant. Try and do better this time. And we mess it up. 5 times in the Old Testament, God comes to us and tries to make covenants with us, and we fail miserably. And I look at the sun, and I see an exasperated God saying, I have tried and tried to be in community with you, and you fail me. Fine. I will show you. I will show you what love looks like. I will show you what obedience to my will looks like. And so God, this transcendent being that goes beyond our ability to comprehend, climbs into the womb of a woman to be born like one of us. I mean, Jesus had a name just like you do. His mother called him in for supper. Jesus, dinner's ready. Jesus, as a human, wore a diaper. He had to learn to walk. He had to learn to talk. Just like you. Just like all of us. The transcendent being that we understand as the God of the universe became one of us. Can you imagine how icky that had to feel for him? But because he loved you so much, he was willing to do that. He was willing to become a human and have the full human experience. So much so that he died on a cross. Because he in the Son is showing us an example of love, of how much love he has for us, how much love he has for his created. In the fully human and fully divine Jesus, creation and redemption, they come together. And they come together because God loves you. God loves you more than you can understand. God came to earth that we might be redeemed. That's what it means that the Son is a part of the Trinity. God loved you so much, he came to earth as one of us. And we, as followers of Christ, are to spread that love all around with all that we are, with all that we want to be. We are to share that love that God has for the world. Let us pray. Oh, holy God, that you would love us enough to come to earth as one of us. We confess. We don't understand. We believe it is so. We know it is so. And so for this great gift of redemption, we say, praise God. Thank you for this amazing gift that we are not worthy of. We ask, Father, that you would write on our hearts this great love that you have for each one of us. And let us go out into the world to be a beacon of that love for others to see and to hear and to feel. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Go forth from this place knowing the love of God, took the form of the Son, who came that you might experience God's love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.